Who are you? Sounds like a simple question, doesn't it? But it may not be as easy to answer as you think it is. You ask somebody that question, they probably say, well, I'm Neil Anderson. No, that's your name. Who are you? Well, maybe I'm an American. No, that's where you live. Well, seminary professor? No, that's what you do. Republican? Well, that's your political persuasion. Baptist? Well, that's your denominational preference. Well, come on, that's not a hard question. If people who know me, they can see me. I'm 5'9", a little over 150 pounds. All right, quite a little over 150 pounds, but is that really me? If you chopped off my arms, would I still be me? How about if you chopped off my legs, transplanted my heart, my kidney, my liver, would I still be me? Now, if you keep chopping, you'll get to me somewhere because I'm in here. But truth of the matter is, when the Bible says we recognize no man according to the flesh, I would say that, oh, yes, we do. That seems to be the primary identification. Now, here we are, created in the image of God, and God is His Spirit. The Bible says if I'm absent from the body, present with the Lord, it must say to us then that our primary identification is not necessarily this physical body, which I'm going to leave someday. It has to be that part of me that's created in the image of God. In struggling for this sense of worth and identity that we all struggle with, we labor under a lot of false assumptions that we pick up from the world. If I only appeared good and was admired by other people, then I would be a whole person. If I performed well and accomplished something that others could recognize, well, surely then I would be somebody. Then I would be a whole person. Or if I had a certain degree of social status and had the recognition of others, then I would be a whole person. But listen to what Maurice Wegner said in response to that kind of thinking.
Try as we might, by our appearance, performance, or social status, to find self-verification for a sense of being somebody, we always come short of satisfaction. Whatever pinnacle of self-identity we achieve soon crumbles under the pressure of hostile rejection or criticism, introspection or guilt, fear or anxiety. We cannot do anything to qualify for the byproduct of being loved unconditionally and voluntarily.
Let's go back to the original creation and see what God had to say in Genesis chapter 2, verse 7.
Then the Lord God formed man of dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being.
This incredible combination between clay and divine breath is really what constitutes the very nature of man. Now, there has been disagreement over the centuries as to how we understand man. Usually, it's a question as to whether you're trichotomous or dichotomous. The trichotomous view is that we are body, soul, and spirit. The soul would be made up of the mind, the will, and the emotions. But if you're dichotomous, then you see us as a material and an immaterial, an outer man and an inner man. Now, for our discussion, I don't really care which position that you take. I do know this, that I have an outer person, a material part of me that I need in order to live physically alive on planet Earth. Through that outer person, I can touch, taste, smell, feel, hear, and see. I have five senses, and that's how I relate to the world around me. I also know that somehow I'm related to God in the inner man, that it's somehow I'm physically as well as spiritually alive. Now, let me make a distinction here. When God breathed into Adam and he became a living being, living how? Well, actually, in two ways. He was physically alive. Now, let me define physical life. That means your soul or your soul spirit is in union with your body. What would happen if you died physically? Well, absent from the body, present with the Lord. The point is that to be alive means you're in union with, to die means to separate from. Now, that's true spiritually. Adam and Eve were also spiritually alive. Now, that's a different concept because to be spiritually alive means that your soul or your spirit is in union with God. And God said, if you eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, on that day you shall surely die. Well, he ate, and what happened? He died. Now, he didn't die physically. Adam lived over 900 years, but he died spiritually. Now, in God's original creation, when Adam and Eve were both physically and spiritually alive, at that time they had attributes that we now search for. They were significant. Listen to how God explained that in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26.
Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the sky and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth.
The point of it is they had a sense of dominion. They had a divine purpose for being here. They didn't need to search for significance. It was an attribute.